Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and as always, joined by Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, big weekend for you from what I gather, huh?
Well, in our house it is a big weekend. My second born child, Paige, my only girl, my little sweetheart, she's graduating from high school this weekend. So they have the baccalaureate mass. She goes to a Catholic high school here in Evansville, Indiana, and they have the baccalaureate mass tonight and graduation on Sunday. And then we leave for a trip to New York City the following weekend. Then we have a little graduation celebration for both Paige and my son Josh, who is graduating from IU, has graduated from IU as well the following weekend. So a lot of good stuff, and we're excited for Paige. But, you know, I can turn it back around at you. You've got your oldest son is participating in the track tournament right now in Indiana.
Yeah, and he last night he coming off a concussion. We were happy that he got fourth place last night, just so he could continue on, keep getting healthy, and maybe move on further, maybe qualify for the state. And then also, you know, gutty performance last night, the 4x400. You know that they were favored to go to state this year, and Austin Schmidt was unable to run last night, and you know Zach Wood was sick, and Kirk Sefner has a hip pointer, and you know Reed's just getting back into condition, and those kids, Austin wasn't able to run, and Jacob Turner, another senior, filled in for him, and they ended up getting second, qualified for state. Gives him another week to try to get him healthy, because those four kids have not been healthy all year long. So, but otherwise, though, very proud of him. So, and one last question back to you, Josh. Is he going to be coaching basketball, Bar Reeve? Is Bar Reeve looking forward to a Schultheis?
Well, I think that there's a good opportunity for our listeners who are wondering what we're rambling about. My son, Josh, my oldest son, just graduated from IU, and he'll be teaching here in the state of Indiana on the high school level at Bar Eve High School next year in Montgomery, Indiana. And he may be doing some, maybe working with the boys basketball team, varsity and JV level as well. So that would be a third generation in my family to step onto the hardwood and coach a little bit, and we'll see what happens. And for those listeners who were listening to Joe, his son is running track for Jasper High School, located in Jasper, Indiana, southern part of the state. And I will tell you this, Joe, and I'm going to give all the credit to your wife, only because I don't want to give you any. You have all your kids have a good sense of understanding of the games that they play in, and have been blessed with some athletic ability. So I'm sure they got that from Liz's side of the family.
Yeah, there's never been a Milligan worth a damn in any sport, but the O'Briens have always been superior. So that's why I married her. I wanted my kids to be athletes. So, but you know,
teasing,
Coach,
Joe's family is. We're just teasing your families. The Milligan side's always had good athletes.
Now, before we get talking about sports, we do have one other big announcement for this week. You want to take this, or do you want me to?
Yeah, I'll start it, and you can jump in since you're the key administrator. This is our last live show of our first season, so it's kind of like the season finale of the Coach K and Joe Show, and it's our last live show, and we'll be coming back. We're going to take I call it hiatus, sabbatical. Joe, you call it summer break. But we'll be back on August 1st with our first show of the second season. And we just want to remind all our listeners and those that will be listening on the podcast that this is our last live show of our first season, our season finale. And then we'll be back August 1st with a great new list of guests. And, Joe, it's been a great first season. We've had thousands and thousands of listeners, and we certainly did not imagine that it would be this successful.
Yeah, it's grown, you know, basically started it to help get numbers to my Jasper Today website, and grew some legs of its own, and we had to get its own website, et cetera. And, you know, it's been a great thing. And it's funny to be out in public and people to come up and talk to you about the show and et cetera. And, you know, actually I've had a couple of teachers apparently at Jasper Middle School talk to the twins about it. You know, I think Reese has listened to it a little bit, but Rafe probably doesn't know what they're talking about when they talk about the Coach K and Joe show. He's probably like, what's that? You know, who's Joe? You know, he might know who Coach K is, but he probably doesn't have any idea what my first name is. So you know, but the thing is too, it's also going to get us time. We've started lining up things for next season. I mean, we've been working with Purdue to try to get them on a little bit more, but you know, the IU football program has been very great to us. And, you know, for next season, you know, they're going to give us a lot of exposure to Coach Wilson, and Mark Deal is going to be on a lot, giving us previews, and we're going to have, you know, offense and defensive coordinators on. And, you know, I'm excited about IU's participation in it, but, you know, also I do the high school level as well. You know, we'll have Bill Sahm on next fall, you know, talking about football. You know, he's our Indy correspondent, does a great job of that. And, you know, I'm excited about next season as well, but, you know, excited to take a little break too. I'm a kid at heart and I need a summer vacation.
Well, you know, we've just had some outstanding guests, and we want to thank the people at the Big Ten Network who really stepped up and became great contributors to our show, and Jerry Palm, CBS bracketologist, and we've just, Don Fisher, we've had some wonderful guests from the major leagues through the college, you know, Butler, Michael Lewis was very gracious as the assistant coach of that nationally ranked program to come on whenever we asked, down into the high school level, and folks, for our listeners, whether it's located here in Indiana, in Kentucky, Illinois, in the Midwest, throughout the United States, you know, we love to talk about the things that you want to talk about. But as much as we do the national level, the pro level, the college level, we understand that the grassroots of sports starts at the high school level. And there's no better place for high school athletics as far as the grassroots level than the state of Indiana and the southern part of the state where the show originates. You know, we've had two of the three Zellers on. So, you know, Joe, I've got to thank you for all your efforts in this first season, everything that you did to make sure that we had the guests and we were lined up and we were using a new technology to run the show through the internet, and we'll work on some of those things this summer to make it better for next year so we can do some live remotes. We'd like to get out to some of the tournaments during the year, whether it be the high school state tournaments that some of the local teams are participating in, and just do a show from there, to whether it would be the Big Ten tournament in different sports or different things like that. So I know, Joe, from a technical standpoint, our break here for the next couple months is going to allow you and myself to retool the show and understand the technology and how we can bring a better show to our listeners.
Yeah, and you know, that you're exactly right. It'll give us time without you know, stressing over who's on the next show and et cetera. And you know, when we were talking about guests, another one I really wanted to thank because he's been really, really good to us was Mike Pegram from Pegs.com. I mean, he's been super for us. And you know, with Tom Deanhart with for his assistance. I mean, you know, those guys have been great. And the thing I want to tell people is, you know, there is a heavy slant to IU on our show, but if you're a Purdue fan, maybe help us with the Purdue Athletic Department. Maybe help us with the Purdue Golden Black Illustrated type people, because it's not because of lack of effort to get those people on. It's just that the IU people have been much more graceful about taking care of us and getting people on. And, you know, I kind of wanted to point that out because I did have someone once tell me, God, you're a Purdue guy. Are you an IU fan now? You know what? You know, I love IU in the aspect that they're so open about getting people on and helping out our show. And
and
if you're a Purdue fan,
it's the graciousness of the people out there, because we have tried to stay away from overdoing with advertisers, because we wanted to keep the show as pure as just you and I just sitting around a table talking sports, and that's what we really want it to be. And whether it's U of L and UK and University of Cincinnati, those kind of places, we want to find some connections with those schools and get their information on the show, get them onto the show, because we know there's a fan base just like U of E, and there's all. But we've had great help from Walt Ferber. We've had Kurt Guxell, who is just a mainstay with us each week. I mean, we really do want to show our appreciation by acknowledging Kyle Neddenrip out of Indianapolis, the high school beat writer for the Indianapolis Star. Man, how awesome was he during the year? So we've just had some great people contribute, coaches that have come on. I'll tell you what, I was just there's no monetary compensations or anything like that. We're just talking sports. And they're coming on to share what they're doing and to share what they've seen with our listeners. And it's like a bunch of guys sitting around a room and talking sports and talking, giving their opinions and their thoughts. And that's what this is all about. You know, we're not trying to save lives or do brain surgery here. We're talking sports, and sometimes it gets heated, and sometimes we rib each other. But we want to bring in the schools and the coaches and the beat writers and the radio and TV people that connect with our listeners and the teams that they follow.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I think you know, I hate to pat ourselves on the back, but I think our numbers show that we've done that. And, you know, I'm excited to continue it and come August. But, you know, getting to a topic that I'd like to talk about, not about us, well, it's kind of about us because you're IU and I'm Purdue, is it was announced that next year in basketball, IU and Purdue will only be playing once. They will only be playing once at Mackey Arena. And I know Fred Glass has kind of came out on Twitter and some different things and kind of put the pressure on Morgan Burke, saying, you know, he's trying to work out a non-conference game at Assembly Hall. And, you know, I don't know. I guess he was taking it to the court of public opinion because, you know, I didn't see why Purdue would even worry about doing that. Because a couple years ago when IU was down, not saying Purdue's going to be down next year, when IU was way down in the gutter, they only played one game at Assembly Hall. And I don't think Morgan Burke ever made that call to try to get an extra game. You know, so.
Well, you know, I've got some thoughts on that, and, you know, my opinion, and of course I've said this show is about our opinions, and before we get into that, Joe, I think that's a great way to start the rant, and we're gonna do the rant in the show today, because we've got some best of interviews coming up a little bit later, and we've also got the head coach, I believe the head coach of the number one ranked Jasper Wildcat baseball team, phenomenal program. When I was at Jasper coaching basketball, Coach Gilbert was just taking over the program from Coach Ray Howard. It was already a really statewide recognized baseball program, and he's taking it to the next level. I mean, they are just year in and year out one of the teams to beat in order to win the state championship, and they're number one ranked again, I believe, and I believe he's coming on for us later in the show as well. So that should be a great interview, a great discussion. with someone who understands what it takes to put a program together and be successful year in and year out. And, you know, Coach Gober will be the first one to tell you, you got to have good players. You got to have people willing to commit themselves. And, you know, whether you agree with him, don't agree with him, think he's the greatest or not, he has put a consistent program together constantly. So there's just no doubt about it. That should be a good interview, and I hope to be able to be a part of that. But if not, Joe's going to take that. You know, before we go to break here, and we will in just a minute, and then come back, and we'll talk about that question Joe posed with a non-conference game at Assembly Hall between Purdue and Indiana as a possibility. Well, we'll talk about our thoughts on that, and you can share your thoughts with us as we go. Let's talk a little bit about Major League Baseball real quickly. Phenomenal what the senior citizen team is doing. And if you don't know who I'm talking about Joe, one of Joe's favorite teams of all time, and a team that has one of the greatest traditions in history in baseball. I'm not talking about the hapless Cubs. I'm talking about the New York Yankees, the senior citizens team of Major League Baseball. What a phenomenal year they have had up to this point. I know it's early. Folks, I mean, I'm well aware of the fact that it's early in the season. Baseball, Scott Rowland, who's been on the show for us, has said before, it's a long season. A lot of peaks and valleys. But the Yankees, who really came into the year with tremendous question marks, so many people had this the end of the Yankee dynasty. And it may well be yet. I mean, I don't know. It may well be yet. But you have to give the Yankees credit for what they've done. Yes, they still have a large payroll, but not what it was. Junior, if you know who I'm talking about, Junior Steinbrenner, he's kind of cut back on some things. And you know, they've got some aged pitchers out there. Pettit, who has pitched well for them, he's got a little strain going. But overall, the Yankees have been outstanding. They lead the American League East. They're 25-16. How about Mariano Rivera? When you talk about the all-time great Yankees, or you talk about all-time great players, if you're not putting Mariano Rivera in that, here the guy's what, 42? He's got 16 saves up to this point, I think. Boston's putting together a nice season. How about Cleveland? How about Cleveland coming out of nowhere and taking the lead in the American League Central? Some good Major League Baseball going on. And when we come back in August to start our second season, the baseball season will be at a point it'll have a picture painted where we can really see what teams are going to do. How about the St. Louis Cardinals? I know we got a ton of Cardinal fans. I'm not one of them. But how about how they've played? The team has a lot of good players, but not what you'd call superstars. They have some solid pitching, but they've played well. The Reds are doing what they thought they would do. So Major League Baseball is shaping up. It's just starting to shape itself going forward, and NBA playoffs are going on. I'm sure we'll talk about those in the next segment. But, folks, we really appreciated this first season and the listeners, and we hope to bring you a second season that's even better than the first, and we hope we'll be able to spread, share, expand our marketplace. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about, give our opinions about, should IU and Purdue play a non-conference tilt at Assembly Hall? We'll talk about that. I'll give you my thoughts. You can share yours. I know what Joe's will probably be, but we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake.
I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. We've got a rant a little early. I guess it's such a rant that we had to just start early. There's just no way around it. But our last rant until August 2nd, or what is Coach, is it August 1st or August 2nd? What is that Friday? The first Friday of August, okay?
First Friday of August.
But we're joined by Kurt Guksel and Don Schulteis. Guys, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Doing well up here in Indy too, Joe.
Hey, guys, it's great to have you on our season finale, and I want to start out by thanking both of you for the contributions to the Coach K and Joe Show. When we started this thing, we thought, hey, if we get 25 listeners, it'll be just like hanging out in somebody's living room or something. But we've seen thousands of people come on and listen to the show and give their thoughts as well. Guys, Kurt, thank you for being a part of our first season.
Oh, it's been great. I love being on with you guys, and you guys are the ones that set it up and promote it and do a nice job with it. And you guys should be very pleased for what you guys have done, because I know a lot of this stuff isn't easy. When you have to line up guests, you have to prepare a show, and that's what I think you guys do a good job of. You just don't go off without preparation, and that's an awesome thing about this whole thing, and you guys should be the ones to be commended.
Well, you know, Joe posed a question before we went to break. And, guys, this is the perfect question to start a rant with. And I think what we'll do is we'll let Joe pose that question again. We'll start with Kurt. We'll jump to Don. And then I'll finish up with my thoughts. And then if anybody wants to just get radical about it, we'll just do that. But let Joe go ahead and pose your question or your thought of the situation, and we'll start with Kurt and then go to Don.
Okay, this week the Big Ten basketball schedules came out, and you know, earlier in the week Purdue had actually released their non-conference schedule, and the crazy thing about it is there are not protected rivalries, I guess, in basketball. Maybe there are going to be in the future, but there isn't next season, and IU and Purdue only get to play one time, and Purdue, the game is going to be at Mackey Arena, and I know, I don't know if he called Morgan Burke or what, but I do know on Twitter and then on the internet, Fred Glass did a number kind of on Morgan Burke, I guess trying to pressure him into a non-conference game at Assembly Hall. Now, in the past, when they've done it, one time they did play a game in Indianapolis, but recently, 4, 5, 6 years ago, when IU was pretty down, the same thing happened. The game was at Assembly Hall, and Morgan didn't ask for the return opinions. Gook, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think Morgan Burke has certainly the right to turn that down. I can see where Fred Glass is coming from, just as a basketball fan. And as an IU AD, that, you know, that you want to play your rival twice, once there like you would and once at your place like you would. But if you're Morgan Burke, your schedule's already set. You work hard on that schedule. And as an AD, you don't give up a home basketball game to go on the road, especially to a place like, you know, one of your rivals like that, and give up the home game if that's what the schedule presents for that year. I mean, I'd love to see it because I like when those two teams play, but you got all kinds of factors. It's just like in football. That's why teams don't go play big boys on the road in football, and much less at home. You know, you got those home games, you protect those home games because there's a lot of factors that go into those home games. There's, you know, the campus involvement with your students you like to have. Restaurants and businesses, they like those home games. And you take some of that away from them to go on the road when you don't have to, you know, that's something that an AD has to protect, and I think that's what Morgan Burke's doing. Maybe the situation would have been different had the schedule not been set. And I know that scheduling sometimes is hard for those ADs, and when you get it set, you just want to move on. but it, you know, it looks like maybe that, you know, he doesn't want to play because it's IU or whatever, and that's all juicy for us to talk about. But, you know, I don't blame Morgan Burke in this situation. Would I love them to play? Yeah, but I don't blame him.
Well, I personally like to see the game, and I think that if they could work it out, that'd be great. I think it's going to be pie in the sky. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't see why Matt Painter would say, why would I take an extra game to go into Assembly Hall and, you know, face that crowd and all of that. Although IU's going to be down, it's going to be a major rebuilding year for the Hoosiers, and this is the opportunity for Purdue to maybe win two this year from them. But I think the only way to do it is maybe Fred Glass, if he wants the game, he should split the gate with him, split the gate with Purdue. Give them some money. That's what it's all mm-hmm. come down to. That's why we're only playing one time a year in this. It's all about money. And when the Big Ten teams, what did I read, Kurt? They split $25 million. No, they each got $25
yes.
billion dollars from the Big Ten network and all the related activities. I mean, this we're talking major business here. And it's all going to come down, and the days of these rivalries are behind us. I think they're going to, if Purdue and IU end up having some, you know, great teams coming back, by no doubt in my mind that these schedules will switch around and they'll try to play them because there'll be big money games for TV and that kind of stuff. So that's my rant on the subject.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is why brothers can love each other and disagree. I know he's the smarter brother, not the better-looking one, but probably the smarter brother. But I think what he said, the pieces of what you just said, Don, are correct. The overall let's play the game, I disagree, because it's all about money, because it's all about filling the coffers. Because the rivalries are going by the wayside, protect this one. This one means something. This one matters. If I'm Purdue, I don't go anywhere near this thing. The game that matters is the conference game. The game that matters is the conference game with Purdue and IU. There's extra intensity. It matters. Border wall, history. Guys that aren't playing that well end up playing well. Everybody turns it up a notch. You play this other game, that's all it is. An exhibition for some money. I don't do it. I don't get near it. I protect what I've got. And if I'm Purdue, if I got one chance to win, I want to get this win. And I don't want to have to talk about we split. I don't want to have to do anything else. I don't want to be IU questioning, well, we won the exhibition, but we lost the conference game. Who's better? No. If the conference says you're going to play one time, then that's what's going to happen this year. And that's where I'm ending it. Don, you're smarter, you're a great brother, but I disagree. No second game unless it matters in the conference or in the NCAA tournament.
If the money's there, Coach K, I think Painter, because he demanded a big salary increase a couple of years ago, they gave him an extra $1 million a year, they got to find some money to pay him. He's going to have to play it. But make
the rivalry, the sanctity, and Purdue needs to protect it anyway, because they got to get their attendance back up. And if they go play at IU and it's ugly, I don't know. I'm just not buying it. I understand the money. I'm saying that I think we can pass on this one and everybody's coffers will still be fine.
Okay, you ready for my opinion? If they want to play it that badly, why don't they talk to the Crossroads Classic and just get Notre Dame and Butler to play each other?
Those contracts are already set.
That's already been in the news, Joe. That's already been addressed.
Has it?
The contracts
okay.
are
I mean,
set. They cannot change them.
Okay, I was going to say that was the easiest thing, because otherwise, you know, Purdue was going to have to cancel something they've already gotten, et cetera, and I just thought that would be the easiest
right.
thing if they were able to
well,
do
I
that.
Well, how do you know
I mean,
Purdue has to cancel something, Joe? There's games that are in flux all the time. IU doesn't roll out their final schedule
Purdue,
yeah,
yep.
because they're
Purdue
still
did.
Nailing some different games.
Purdue
in,
did this.
So.
Purdue did this.
I wish Fred Glass would have worked as hard to try to get UK inked back up, and the heck with another Purdue game.
Exactly.
I mean, geez, I think Fred Glass has done a great job, but let's go
get
Kentucky.
Fred Glass did a pretty good job, Coach, at trying to get that game.
He is doing a great job, but let's go get Kentucky. Let's figure out the neutral site. The heck with playing in Assembly Hall. He can make a lot more money or just as much money playing at a neutral site.
How about Louisville? Screw Purdue.
I thought that was in the works, guys. Is that not in the works?
Yeah, that's very close to happening, what I understand. That's going to happen. Perhaps
starting
as early as next year. Yeah, perhaps as early as next year, with Indiana still being open and Louisville still being open. And that would be really neat.
You know, Kurt, I would think that with what happened this past season, and even though we're all kind of rebuilding, Louisville still got some solid players, and we obviously have solid players at IU. I think that'd be a great game, a fun game to see happen.
Oh, that would be a great game. Nobody has it rolling like Louisville does right now, and they're going to continue to have good teams. And, of course, Indiana, a little bit of rebuilding, but that would be a great matchup, especially for us down here in the southern part of the state.
Yeah, I heard Coach Pitino is requiring all of his assistant coaches now and in the future to get a tattoo before they get on the staff. So,
well, you know, it's great that he made the promise and he stuck with it. You got to give him credit for that.
Yeah,
I thought it would be some little deal. It's pretty big.
Yeah. Well, I heard that he left the tattoo parlor, and where he went was down to the Five and Dime store to pick up one of those gum wrapper tattoos and made it look real by going into the tattoo parlor, but it's really a wash-off.
No, he held true to his promise. His players made sure of that. I don't know what he's going to do this year to go out on a limb, but it may be really neat.
I suspect he'll be looking like that Anderson that plays for the Heat. Maybe you'll have a mohawk, and maybe you'll have tats coming down his arms, up his neck. That's a good look.
The Birdman.
I'd be thinking midlife crisis there, but he's past midlife crisis.
He's past that. He's had three of those.
Ooh, anything particular you want to share, Don, on Pitino?
It's been well publicized. I'm sure Kurt has highlighted that on his noon report and 8 o'clock report many times over the last few years.
Yeah, he bought a new car. He bought a convertible. That was his midlife crisis deal.
All right, let's try to stay as clean as we can. Let's switch it over to Major League Baseball real quick. I had mentioned before the break the senior citizens team of Major League Baseball, the Yankees. In my opinion, and I am kind of a Yankees fan, so, you know, that's what it is. Great start by the Yankees, a team that a lot of people had question marks, people that they had concerns, could they, and we got a long season to go. Everybody knows that. We understand that. But they played pretty darn well. And how about Kurt Mariano Rivera coming back at 42 off injury and really picking it up and has been lights out?
He's unbelievable, and you know, a guy that really doesn't throw hard, but he's got that pitch, that slider that is just continues to be nasty. And I mean, with him, there's no signs of slowing down. And if you're the Yankees, you've got to explore the chance. And he's a highly principled guy, but you've got to say, hey, you're not done. You've got some stuff left. Can we not talk you into coming back next year, or perhaps a 2-year deal? Or you can come to all the home games. You can get the Roger Clemens treatment. But please come back. I mean, when he gets the ball in the ninth, you know, he's been just like he's always been. I mean, you'd love for them to work something out as a baseball fan. You'd like to see him continue as long as possible, especially to pitch at that high level, because we've seen closers come and go. But this guy's been ultra consistent down through the years, and he's awesome.
And Don, you know, Don, you spent time out in New York for business for many years, and I've got to believe that the Yankee fans just have to look at Mariano Rivera. I mean, you have to put him with the expanse of his career, not as one of their top pitchers of all time, but you got to put him in the top 10 of Yankee players of all time with this kind of career.
Yeah, I think the people that I know that are true Yankee fans feel like Mariano is one of the best that's ever put the pinstripes on. So definitely agree, and he is phenomenal, and I just think that whatever he lacks in his pitching, he's made up now with his smarts and his savviness. But boy, can he find the location, and even at his age. Kurt, I agree that from the Yankees' standpoint, they should try to work it out where they could bring him back. But boy, from a fan standpoint, I'm a Yankee fan. I'd just love for him to roll out on top like this and just have a phenomenal year and ride into the sunset as one of the greatest to ever pitch for the Yankees.
Yeah, I can see that too, because he's going to go out on top. Hopefully for them that they do some things in the postseason for the Yankees or their fans. But yeah, you're right. You don't want to see a guy hold on, but he's still got it rolling.
Yeah, he's not holding on. I mean, he's still looking good.
Yeah, and Kurt, speaking of rolling, the Cubs continue to roll backwards, sitting in, they're not in last place. They're actually ahead of Milwaukee, 17-23, 9 games back. You're a Cubs fan, history, tradition, and the pain, very little pleasure. 9 games back, are they done?
I would think so, but they've won their last two series. They've actually played pretty well, and the beat goes on with their starting pitching. They continue to pitch very well. They have also hit decently in the last few weeks, but 17-23, if you're a pretty good team or you think you're a good team, you can say, hey, let's get to 500, then we can move on from there. But, you know, I don't know what they've got in their tank, you know, with some of the guys that they've got on that roster. But, you know, why not try to battle and see what you can do? I know that's what the manager wants to do. And if they can continue to get good pitching, Smyers has been good. Scott Feldman's been good in recent weeks and games. So, you know, as long as you got good starting pitching, you've got a chance, but I don't know what they've got that they can offer later on in the season, but, you know, not too bad here recently.
And for every Cardinal fan out there in the country who gets mad and dislikes a player when they leave the Cardinals, they've got to be grinning at least today. Don, the Los Angeles Angels, they've spent a ton of money over the last few years. They bring in Pujols. They find themselves 12 games back at 15-26. Again, it's early in the season. Pujols does have 7 dingers, but 12 games back.
Well, one of the comments that I'll just make are on Cardinal fans. I mean, they're the greatest fans in the world for their team, but boy, do they love to cry in their beer when a guy decides to leave the team and go play for somebody else. I mean, my gosh, these guys have – Pujols has worked his tail off. He's won them two World Series already for the Cardinals. He's done incredible things for them. And you're right, the Cardinal fans that I know are just loving it that Pujols is struggling, his team's struggling, and – they're all kind of looking at him saying, told you so, you should have signed. We were going to give you enough money, you should have signed. And it just, well, you know what, just let him go. Let him go and find the next one. The good teams do that. So,
well, you know, the thing about it is, it's early in the season. 12 games back is a tough pill to swallow. You got happy people in St. Louis and people just can't figure out the Los Angeles Angels. I'm going to swing it back to IU real quick. I'm surprised Joe didn't bring this up. News came out that Eric Gordon's brother is going to transfer in to IU, and he's going to work on his master's degree, and he's going to play a year for the Hoosiers. Immediately eligible, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yes. Bad? Is this what college basketball is becoming? Remember when it was so tough to even be able to transfer anywhere and ever get a chance to play? I know the rule's the rule. I understand that Kurt's going to be all over my case. I just don't like these one-year gun-for-hires.
No.
I really don't.
I don't either. And we saw it with we see it with football a lot. We see it with basketball. Purdue even got a guy this week that came from Cathedral. That was out in Cornell.
Derek
Peck, Cornell.
Yeah.
Yeah, a really good player playing the All-Star team with Barlow and those guys from Cathedral. But for 1 year, that's not true college basketball. I guess you've got to do it if you're going to be a good team. Will he fit in? Yeah, because they need some experience in the backcourt. We see it a lot in football. I mean, it made Wisconsin a national power, a Rose Bowl contender when Russell Wilson came out of North Carolina State. I mean, once you graduate from college, it's time to go. Let's go. Get out there and do something else. No, you know.
Well, wait a minute, Kurt. Wait a minute. If you're going to allow, players to be one and done or two and done, you almost have to look the other way and say, hey, if these guys want to transfer for a year, you got to let them on. I mean, Austin Etherington is the second oldest player on the Hoosier team coming up this year. Well, not now that Evan Gordon came on board, but you know, you got Will Sheehy, and then you got Austin Etherington. I mean, that's your experience level.
I know, but again, I go back. This stuff's becoming like gun for hire. I understand the one and duns and the two and duns, but we're talking about a guy. We're talking about these guys jumping around here for 1 year. Hey, you know, I went and hung out here for 4 years or whatever, 3 years. Now I'm going to go hang out over here. I don't like it. That's not what guys, that's not what the college experience is supposed to be about. That's not the point of education and putting athletics in. Guy got his degree. He's done. That's what he should have got. Move on. I'm agreeing with Kurt. I understand what you're saying, Don.
Coach, there's no Santa Claus. There's no Easter Bunny. And the old college experience, there is no more.
True. It can change with the next guy running the NCAA because nobody's running the NCAA right now. Maybe our buddy Billy Sama ought to be. I don't know. There's nobody running the NCAA right now. It's a madhouse. It started when the guy from IU went in there and claimed he was not going to let coaches make huge salaries and sink the NCAA and the college experience. And the next thing he does, the place went crazy. And they bring in this guy after his unfortunate death. But this thing is a mess. There is nobody at the wheel in Indianapolis. And if somebody listening say, okay, well, if you know so much, you take the job. Give it to me. Offer me the job. I guarantee you'll know that somebody's in charge at the NCAA.
I'll tell you,
The interesting thing about Peck going to Purdue is he went to Cornell, and he had to transfer somewhere to play his fifth year because apparently the Ivy League doesn't allow redshirting. And since he was out his junior year with a knee injury, he either had to leave or he was done with basketball.
That is true. But the Ivy League does not allow fifth-year senior.
Well, I don't care. He's done.
With Gordon, he goes to Liberty, does his deal there. Arizona State provides him an opportunity to play and to get his education free of charge, gets done with that. Now he's going to go to Indiana with, you know, unrestricted movement to play. And that, I mean, that's great. Whatever floats his boat, but I just don't, for 1 year, you got to do it because that's what everybody else is doing if you're Tom Green. But,
well, at least he's got three letter jackets, Kurt. He'll have three letter jackets.
He's seen the country. The low line thing here, let's be honest, there's another Gordon coming. The older
exactly.
One,
I was waiting for somebody to have the guts to bring it up because I was just going to bring it up. There's another Gordon coming. We don't really care if this guy comes and plays at IU. We know that he's average when it comes to Big Ten potential. We just want his brother. Again, is that what it's supposed to be about?
Come on. I don't think it's as simple as that. I think that might be one of the reasons, or that could be an add-on reason. But the Hoosiers have been scrambling around for 2 months to find somebody to come in, and they lost out on a couple players, and he was one of the ones
my gosh, well, all the people he's...
Coach, another thing I want to bring up is your buddy Coach Jim Cruz at St. Louis. He basically called in Jared Drew, who also went to Cathedral, after he was redshirted this year, and just a couple of days ago told him, you're no longer going to have a scholarship here. We're going in a different direction. So what are you guys going to do?
I don't like it at all. I like Jim Crews, but I don't like it. If it happened the way you says it you say it happened, I don't like it at all. I'm not going to stand up and act like, oh, he's my buddy, so I'm going to protect it. No. If that's what they really did, if that's the way it came down, I don't like it at all, Don. But I'll tell you what, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for me. There's an opportunity for Don. There's an opportunity for Kurt on the side. Let's go out and become kind of the logistics booking agent for these guys that have one more year of eligibility left, and we'll just hook them up all over the place. Maybe the universities will give us a little money on the side. Maybe they'll put us on staff like they do
Finder
the AAU recruiting coaches.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I mean, what we've got is minor league. The NBA now has their minor league. They've been able to break the NCAA because Emmert doesn't have any control anymore, and they've got their minor league NBA without having to do anything.
I can't disagree.
Everybody to a standstill of quiet.
No, that'll lead me right into one of the topics I wanted to bring up today was AAU. And my son plays AAU, and we were involved in a tournament. And I'm just, the more I get involved and see what goes on in this AAU, no wonder college basketball is where it's at. Because these coaches are total, I don't want to paint the brush across all of them, but several of the coaches that I've observed are it's just insanity. I mean, last weekend in Bloomington, the big Adidas Classic down there, my son's team's playing in a tournament game on a late Saturday night, and they're playing a team from Wisconsin, and the coach, literally the entire game, is calling my son's team, the opponent, a bunch of blankety-blanks, screaming it out loud, telling his team that they're a bunch of blank. Not, he wasn't calling his team, but he was saying your opponent over here, they're a bunch of blankety blanks. You should be crushing them. They're a bunch of blank. I mean, just continually the entire game. And his team then started taking on that attitude. And I cannot believe the lack of leadership, lack of role modeling, lack of mentoring that is going on. And then as you look over the course of all these years and you see all these great players coming out of high school and being shopped around, and if it doesn't work out here, they go here. And if so-and-so knows so-and-so, they brought him in staff because he knows the AAU circuit, all this stuff. It's just pathetic to me.
It's crazy, and we could go, and I think when we start the next our season two, I think we're going to talk a lot about AAU, because you're going to have had the whole experience, Don, in following with your son playing and getting Kurt's perspective and dealing with a lot of the high school coaches. But we got to move on past the rant, because
all
we've
right.
got one ranked coach of the Jasper Wildcats waiting to come on, Terry Gobert. Phenomenal program, another phenomenal year as they get ready to go into the sectional tournament. When we come back, Joe will have Coach Gobert. Hey, it's the end of the first season. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
Hey, I just want to say to all you other drivers out there, if you smell a delicious, crispy smell after the race, it's not your tailpipe. It's a little bit of shake and then wait. Shake and bake. That's our nickname. Get used to hearing it.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show. And the Coach K and Joe Show are happy to be joined by five-time state champion coach of the Jasper Wildcat baseball team, Terry Gobert. Terry, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Hey,
doing
Coach,
really.
This is Ken Schulteis. Pleasure to have you on and excited to talk about another successful and strong season for the Wildcats.
Well, hey, Ken, I want to set the stage for you here. I'm right next to the Denny Lewis Memorial Video Library in the back room of the social studies area, right out about 10 feet from your old world history classroom, I think.
That's classic. And Denny visited that library, video library many times.
Well, that, and you know what? That, I mean, what was that before VHS? That inch and a half wide tape, I think we're going to have to update. But thanks for having me on. Sorry it didn't work out sooner. It's just such a tough time of year. But I think it's great what you guys are doing. I get on there later and listen to some of those interviews and have passed a few along to our kids. You know, we had Roland on there, Mr. Ballinger, talking about, you know, the value of multiple sports. And I love what you were talking about on AAU a while ago. Then they're done.
Yeah, and we probably should have joined you in on some of our rants, because I know that just in conversations in the past, you definitely can give your opinion and intelligent opinion on things. But today we're going to talk about Jasper baseball, and I've got a couple of different things I want to talk to you about.
Sure.
Terry, first of all, before we get into the season at hand, I just want our listeners to understand, both listeners in Indiana and outside around the country, because believe it or not, we do have listeners throughout the country.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've always been impressed with your program, it was a strong program before you took it over, but it's gone to the next level. And many times, coaches, you've seen in traveling around to different schools and facilities, teams, schools build top-notch facilities, and it's always, well, we're going to build this facility, we're going to have a better this, a better that, we're going to have the top-of-the-line this. But the program doesn't get better, or the program starts to sag. You have been able, over time, with the help of a lot of people that have got their hands dirty, kids that have been willing to work, coaches that have put in the extra time, built top-notch facilities, indoor batting cages, all those types of things, and your program hasn't gone backwards. It's actually done what it's supposed to do. It's prospered.
Yeah, you know, you really got to earn it. And, you know, we have a beautiful facility, and the guys that earned it were those guys that played decade after decade after decade. Now, these kids along, we're starting to run into, we built our field house, opened it up in 2000, and you start thinking about it, you do the math, that's all these guys have ever known. You know, these guys that I have never seen in any other way. And so you start seeing that they don't appreciate as much what we have because it's been here. But there's always that lag. The teams that put you on the map are the ones that draw more attention and help you get the facilities you need. But anybody can, you can build anything if you got the money. And fortunately, our school corporation came through a few years ago and redid it all right. But up until then, your dad, was my AD starting out and allowed us to go out, whatever we could do, we did it piece by piece with a master plan. And it makes you appreciate a lot more, just like the field house we have. You know, Scott Rowland's a great man. Everybody thinks he just wrote a check. He helped me visit sites, did groundwork, dirty work, and, you know, he was there if we needed it. But actually, we were able to build that without a penny out of Scott, just his help wherever we needed it. But, you know, it means a lot more to people when you go out and earn it and everybody gives a little bit than somebody just writes you a check and then you go to somebody and have them build it. So we take a lot of pride in what we have. The one thing I like about our kids, we go on the road, and the first thing they want to do is pull up weeds around the dugout, or, you know, they notice things like that. So you don't have to have the best facility in the world, but you got to take care of what you have.
Yeah, and I think another thing that I would add and get your thoughts on, I'll run into coaches and they'll talk about, well, you know, we can't get the kids to come in and we can't do this, and we set a time and only 30% of them will show up. And one of the things that I tell them is it wasn't any different 15 years ago or 20 years ago. Sometimes you got to go out and you got to get them. You got to go talk to them. You got to keep them responsible. You got to keep them involved. And it seems like you have continued to be able to do that year after year. Yes, you may not have the number one team every year. You may not play in the state championship every year. But every year your kids are coming back in, they're getting better, they're getting their swings in, getting their pitches in, doing the things they need to do whether they're playing another sport or two sports like your son, Nick, they're doing the other things they need to do to keep sharp, to be ready to put those skills to work when it's baseball season.
Well, yeah, a couple things on that. I think every good team, you're going to have, whatever the sport, if it's football, you're going to have some guys that's their number one love, but you're going to have a lot of good athletes that really enjoy it, but maybe baseball's their favorite sport or basketball or whatever. It doesn't matter to us. I think to be a good baseball team, you need a few of those guys that love the dirt, and that's their own number one passion, but there's nothing wrong with a linebacker or a forward that can pick up a dozen wins for you or, you know, hit 5-6 out of the park and drive in 30. So you really got to get that mix. But what a lot of people won't believe about us, we have that beautiful facility, and we have no fall baseball. We have no required workouts. We have no coming in the morning and hitting. We play a Legion ball on two summer league schedules, but it's laid back because you can't demand today out of athletes. We just had our awards banquet or ceremony today, and I was looking at the senior athletes, and there were three of them that played three sports. And there are several that played two, but a lot of them that just played one, and that's not going to cut it. And, you know, I'm kind of an old-school throwback, and I told my son, you know, you do what you want, but you can't get these days back. There's nothing wrong with being a sub on the, you know the days when you had 12 guys on the basketball team or 10. They felt like the most 10 special guys in the school, and that seems to be missing. So I really harp on our kids, you know, hey, we got 1,000 kids in the school or whatever, 500 boys, and there's only, you know, 17 of them in this program. You're already special just being here. So you need that whole mix. You need guys that love baseball, but you need guys that just want to be in a sport, keep pushed, and get as good as they can.
Yeah, and I think that's important, and maybe we can have you back when we go into our next live season next year and talk about that, because I think that's really – people are missing that. You know, we've got kids in third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade. They're specializing just in soccer. They're specializing just in this sport, or they're specializing just in that sport. And really, when I think back to the good teams I had, the good players I had, the guys I played with, they were multiple sport athletes. They weren't always the very best in every sport, but they were participants. They made the teams better, and they worked on their different skill levels and muscle memory, and it made them better. So I agree 100%. Coach, you've got a unique situation. It's not something that no coach has gone through, but it is unique in coaching. You've been able to coach your son, Nick, on this level of varsity baseball. Just a few minutes before we really get into your season, what has that experience been like? Has it changed you? Has it made you look at things differently? Just a few thoughts on that.
Yeah, no problem there. I talked to several coaches ahead of time that had done this and gone through it, and it was interesting because some said the best experience of their life, others said the worst experience of their life, and some said both. But it's tougher on the kid, I think, and you would probably understand that it's a lot tougher on the kid than it is the coach, because if you're a solid coach, you're going to play your best lineup. You're going to be harder on your own, and you're going to make that kid, your own son, earn it above and beyond all others just to prove a point that you're not showing favoritism. Now, not every coach is like that, I think, but most, you know, the solid ones are that way. And, you know, it'd be interesting to hear my son's perspective probably than mine. But I've never had a problem with my son as far as whether it's football, basketball, and baseball being intense, doing whatever it takes to help the team win. And so from that point, I've been very lucky that he loves to play sports. But it has definitely changed me, you know, when I was single and started out as a young head coach. I wasn't as patient, wasn't as tolerant. The SAT meant nothing to me. You know, you just kind of lock on that sport. And when you bring a kid, you know, this is my oldest. It's the first one I've made it all the way to his senior year, so I don't claim to have it down. But you get a different perspective. I talked to our parents about that last night. You understand a little more why they have a senior night, or you understand a little more, you know, why people are so upset when their kid's not playing as a senior. That's a whole other area to go into. But it is definitely – helped me. It's been a learning process, but I've seen it. My son put way too much pressure on himself, thinking he has to prove himself. And now all of a sudden I'm sitting in the dugout each game thinking, wow, you know, after tonight's ball game, it's game by game and you could be done. And just really don't want it to end because it's been such a fun experience overall.
Yeah, I know that it has. And I think you hit it right for all the young coaches that may be listening. As you have kids or you get connected with your own kids a little bit, your perspective on how you view what you're doing and what's important does change. I just call it maturing as a person, and then you mature as a professional with it. So I know
I can remember my mom when I was single. I'd say, this kid cannot hit a curveball, whatever. And my mom would say, well, just remember that mother and father wouldn't change him for all the gold in the world. And I'd say, well, they're crazy. laughing, of course. But, you know, you see the perspective. And an interesting take is, for example, the recruiting process. And when a guy's there to watch, I realize more now. I have a son that's gone through that. And this school shows up, that school shows up. And you notice they change. And before I had children, I'm like, what is the big deal? So this guy or that guy's here. I look back at what Roland went through, you know, having 21, 22 teams there, and I didn't fully appreciate how difficult that would be. And then watching a kid when he wants to play, but he doesn't know where and not sure what's going to happen, and seeing that toll it takes on them, it's really helped me even this season to see what some of these other kids have gone through. And I'm not saying anything. I mean, the level that Roland or Kendall and you know, some of those guys, Moth, went through, that's just a whole other level. But it made me appreciate more just the kid that wants to keep playing, you know, whatever the sport. And so-and-so is here to look at them tonight. In the back of their mind, they know that. And it's helped me a little bit to understand from the other side of it what these kids go through.
Well, that's awesome, Coach. And that leads us to the segue into this season. And you've got another outstanding team, a team that's earning its Wildcat stripes, so to speak, number one ranked, and you're getting ready. I guess your last game's tonight, and then you head into the sectional state tournament.
Yeah, on Wednesday we play the Washington Hatchets, and they've got a stud left-handed pitcher. And that's the beautiful thing about high school baseball, the draw is so big because it's when you see and how deep the pitching is, and when you line up with them. And we got a very tough draw to get through the sectional, but that's the way it's supposed to be. But the strength of the team has been pitching. I think as a team, we're under two. We're like, I think it's a 1.9 or 1.8 ERA team-wise, and that's given us a lot of chances to compete. In those, I'm not a big stat guy, but 178 innings, we've walked like 50 and struck out 165. And you want a ratio. In fact, we're not happy with that 50. But the pitching has been our strength, and our defense, which generally Jasper's known for, not been real strong, and that's a concern. We've had just one of the lowest fielding percentages that we've had in the last 35 years here, and it's something we continue to work on. But, you know, our whole program is built on a simple philosophy. It's give the other team three outs or less and use all three of ours. And when you give teams second chances, when you give them more than three outs, that's when you get knocked out of the tournament. So that's something that we flirted with all year, and if you don't straighten it out, it's definitely going to be a problem.
You know, coaches, you get ready to go in the tournament, and obviously the target, you guys are used to it, the target being so big on your back. I mean, I think that Jasper baseball is one of those programs where that's not anything new. That's just an expectation, and kids grow up and know it, and I think want it. I think they want to have the target on their back. But as you go into the tournament and you finish up the regular season, I don't want to take anything away from the regular season, do you, when you talk to your guys about going into that tournament, are you talking to them a little bit differently? Are you saying we're playing one game at a time, we're in a three-game tournament or two-game, and then we move on? What's your philosophy, which has been very successful in your approach as you go into tournament play?
Yeah, I think one of our keys to our success over the years is you can play up to 29 games, 26 in a tournament or 28 games, and we treat every one of them like a tournament game. So whether we're up 10-0 or 0-0, and a guy misses a cutoff, he's going to hear about it. If we walk a guy and he scores, the whole team runs a mile. And we do that every game. And people don't understand what kind of energy that takes, what kind of effort. You know, we're human. I know when you were active on the sidelines, too, you probably wanted to tell people, you know, I really am a person. I am a good father. I am a good husband. But you try to get everything out of them every game. And, therefore, when you get to the tournament, it is the same game you've been playing. I think a lot of programs just kind of let things go and try to be, you know, okay and buddy-buddy. And then when you get to the tournament, you know, people are stunned. Oh, my God, we got knocked out. Well, you know, usually it's been the mistakes you've been making all year. So I think one reason we've been pretty successful is because as a coach and staff, we demand every game, every practice. You know, we try to have fun, but we try to point it out right there so it's not some big surprise later.
And as you go into this tournament, I mean, your team, I think the thing that I picked up on what you were talking about is that defensive key. And you don't feel you're as strong as you've been in the past. And, you know, people may not understand, but it really can come down to, in basketball, in football, and in baseball, you have a defensive lapse, you make a bad decision on where to throw the ball, you put an extra runner on base, you let a runner advance, and that pitching, the toughness of your pitching is still there, but the other team, the team you're playing in the tournament, they know it's one and done too. Their guy on the hill's giving it everything he's got. That defense really does become critical to move forward in the tournament.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right on it. An example would be you have a double play ball and you don't turn it. You would have been out of the inning. And maybe you get out of the inning without a run, but two more batters come up. You threw another 9, 10, 11 pitches. And, you know, that's going to come out. It turns their lineup over. The good hitters now are going to bat in the seventh. And so you try to push that all year. There's so many little things about baseball and all sports. But probably another thing you try to do with kids today is get a few keys. They sometimes don't grasp the whole thing. But if you just tell them, you know, hey, we got to get every bunt down, give them like three keys that to really believe in. This pitcher is tough, but let's, you know, instead of trying, you're crazy to go in against a really good pitcher and try and put 15 up on the board. You'd love it, but you say instead, and we keep track of, say, for example, quality of bats. If you make him throw 6, 7 pitches each time up, well, then you're going to get him over 140 pitches before the day's up. You got a chance to win that ball game. So you try to find simple things that kids can lock onto instead of the, you know, you tell them you want to win. That's great. I think both teams want to win. But you got to give them those steps and tools and a few basic goals. So you might say, against this pitcher, we got to do this, this, and this. And then so the kids are believing, even though it's 0-0 after four, hey, we got his count up to this, or we put the ball in play this many times. And I think that's probably one of the key things you have to do instead of just the big picture. You have to give them the steps that they need maybe to get there.
Yeah, you have a plan, Coach, and that's a bottom line, and you share that plan with your kids, and you've done that all year, and you've done that for several years. And I think sometimes people think, well, they practiced all week, they go out play a game, or they practice yesterday, they play a game. And high school coaches, whether it's college coach or pro coach, high school coaches who work hard at what they do, you know, there's a reason that their team looks good in that situation because they understand what they're trying to accomplish at that point. And that brings me to your players. And if you would take a couple of minutes, I appreciate your time. I don't want to keep you too long. But could you take a couple of minutes before we end up here and maybe talk about some of your seniors, some of your key guys as you move into the tournament the season?
Yeah, one thing we do here, and probably some people don't like it, some people do, but if you're a freshman and you can play, you play. In the last 15 years, it's been pretty obvious with us. I'm a true believer in you go to Jasper High School, then you're eligible to play for the Jasper Varsity. If that's what works out, that's what's done it. But we have seven seniors that have done a great job for us. I looked it up yesterday. Was senior night. I think there are 106 and 19 over that 4 years, the varsity is, during that time period. And two of them, Nick Gobert and Mark Giesler, Nick ended up starting most of his freshman year, and Mark played a lot for us as a freshman. They made it to the state championship game. The last 3 years, they've been our two best pitchers, or, you know, right there. We've had other good ones along with them, I should say. But they've been super solid pitchers, but also good hitters, good players. Devin Traylor is a senior, and has started in center field for 3 years. Andy Canoes is a good example of a kid that did it the old school way. You play freshman ball, you play JV ball as a sophomore, make the varsity as a junior, have a good role, and then he's having a real solid senior year. Craig Schneider missed his whole junior year to an injury and has been our DH and some third base and doing a nice job for us. Nathan Liebring's a senior, has worked very hard and doesn't get a lot of playing time, but really contributes. And then Seth Holland, and this is a pitcher that as these kids were coming up was right on that fringe of, you know, whether he played or not. And heck, he might be like 9-0 or something in his career. Takes good innings for us. And then, but we've got a lot of kids. We've played more kids. Sophomore, you may have heard of the last name Hollis. Jerry's son, and we've got a couple freshmen that come up, Cal Kruger and Craig Shepard, that are giving us minutes. We've got a lot of juniors, probably 7 or 8 juniors that have done a nice job. So it really, I don't harp a lot. I expect seniors, if they want to take ownership in a team, I give them that chance. But if they're not doing it by the first week of May, we pass it on to somebody else. I mean, and this group has done it. Don't get me wrong. They've been that kind of group that wants to win, that wants to be hungry. But I really don't harp much on the seniors. That's why I don't really like senior night. But we expect all our kids to perform. We throw them out there. And this year we have as much depth on the mound as any year I can remember. I mentioned Geisler, Mark's going to the University of Dayton on a baseball scholarship. Nick Gobert. And then we also mentioned Seth Holland doing a lot of good innings for us. I think he's 5-0 on the mound. And then Kruger is 3-1 as a freshman. Shepard's been out there. Ben Moore is playing very well, sophomore, soaking up. But every guy we've given the ball to, Ken, has gone out and given us a chance to win. And that's what you want to see. That's what, you know, you want to do overall, is give your team a chance. So it's been an enjoyable year, and it's a different kind of year because we've played probably more kids at shortstop than any year I can remember at second. We've got 3 kids that have caught, and that can be one of 2 things. It could be, hey, we have nothing and we're just desperate, or we have options. And we've got Scott Stallwood, the junior, has been a catcher for us this year. Then we moved Nick Gobert back there, and Nick would be one of the best catchers we probably ever had here. But he's also a good defensive up the middle. And then Kyle Kruger, soft freshman. So we really are going into the tournament with the possibility of using 3 different guys, depending on what kind of matchup we had. That's just unusual. I'm not bragging. It may not be a good thing. But it's one of those years where we have, you know, Mark Geisler is a stud pitcher, but he's also our best hitter. And in the old days, I know when Ray Howard had it, if you could pitch, you pitched and you stayed out of the way. You know, and that's a great way to do it from the standpoint you don't have to mix your lineup up. But this year it's a little different. Maybe that's why we've had the errors early on. Is we got, you know, one day you're pitching, next day you're in third, and then the third guy's out there, you're at first. So it's kind of like you went through this when you're coaching. It's like putting a puzzle together. And it might be frustrating for parents and the kids, but it's actually a lot of fun for our coaching staff to just keep testing and see, how can we get stronger? If this is a good lineup, can we make it better? And that's what we've been trying to do. It's not like we just can't find someone. We're just trying to make what is the strongest lineup we can put out there, and these kids give us some options.
Yeah, it's nice to have options. It's depth is good, and it's nice to have options, especially with talent. Coach, before we let you go, before you came on, we had just started to talk a little briefly about AAU, some of the AAU.
Yeah, I heard some of that.
Yeah, we probably should have got into it even more in depth. I'm sure it would have been crazy, but we see it a lot in a lot. Different sports.
I'll tell you one thing. I had a great meeting with I went to see Dan Dockage when Roland was in high school and got called up to Coach Knight's office. And can't tell you the story on the air, but it was a great story about AAU. You know, that's back in 93. They asked him his thoughts on AAU, and he spelled it out in 2 words, or 1 word plus AAU. And it was classic that, you know, if we're not careful, that same atmosphere is going to ruin baseball. My son played at a high level last year, and it was the most painful thing I could do was be a part of it and listen to it as far as in the stands and some of the other coaches. And the whole game is twisted. You know what I mean? They're no longer teaching the team concept. And you could go on forever. Controlled, all those things can be a good thing. But, man, it's just taking the fun out of the game and the whole idea of a team. We had a year we got knocked out of the tournament. And one of the parents said, well, travel ball starts next week, and it's a lot of fun. I was like,
oh, boy.
We
could go on and on, especially with the younger grades and the specialization of the travel ball and all that. And we will at some point, Coach, maybe off the air as well as on. But I know you're busy, and I know you've got the tournament just right around the corner. Thanks for coming on with us and talking about Jasper baseball.
Well, I love what you guys are doing. Like I said, I'm busy during the day with a daytime job, but I love getting on the archives and listening to the interviews. I think it's a great program, and I appreciate being a part of it.
Well, we're just having some fun and sharing sports, but we appreciate people like you that help us let people know what's going on. We were talking to Jasper baseball coach Terry Gobert, a program that's put kids in the major leagues and continues to put out winning teams year after year, and that is a credit to the community but also to the coaching staff. When we come back, we'll have one of our stub interviews, Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
You were in Nam, so were we. Where?
I was in Dangang. I was all over that place, basically. A lot of places.
What unit were you in?
I was with the Green Beret, Special Unit Battalion, Commando Airborne Tactics, Specialist Tactics Unit Battalion. Yeah, it was real hush-hush. I was Agent Orange. That was my name, Agent Orange, Special Agent Orange. That was me.
Airborne, huh?
I can see. I have legs.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Out and then went back in. 19 for him. Here comes Riddell Jones. 3 seconds. 2 seconds. Riddell all the way outside to Watford. 3 on the way. Oh! It went in! It went in! And Indiana wins the ball game. Christian Watford with a 3. And the Hoosiers have knocked off the number one ranked Kentucky Wildcats. Unbelievable!
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show with probably the most recognizable voice in the state of Indiana, legendary sportscaster and voice of the Indiana Hoosiers, Don Fisher. Don, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Man, Don, this is Coach K. It is just a privilege to have you on the show, and I know I'm probably going to get a little emotion here talking to you, but, you know, I can just remember being an Indiana grad and going through and you know, We called you Don Fisher, Mr. Fisher. We called you Fisho. We called you Fish. And when we turned down the telecast to listen to you on the radio, we'd yell, Fish on, Fish on. So pleasure to have you. And, well, let me just start real quickly by saying, what's it like when you win so many broadcasting awards? Do the other guys just say, I'm not going to the awards program because Fisher's going to win it again?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know what the other guys say, but I'm sure at some point it gets a little tiresome for them, and I understand that completely. In fact, you know, the Indiana Sportscasters and Sports Writers Association gave me their award like 4 times in a 5-year span back in the 70s, and I haven't won it since because I think they decided that because the NSSA was going to give me that award, or at least I would be voted on that award on so many different scenarios, that the NSSA award became the one that I was allowed to win, and the ISSA award went by the way. So whatever the case it is, you know, honest to goodness, there are a lot of great broadcasters in the state, and I probably get more exposure than virtually anybody else, and from that perspective alone, I feel very humbled and gratified that people get a chance to hear what I do and enjoy it. So from that perspective alone, I'm quite pleased.
Well, Don, the one thing that I really like about listening to your broadcast, You bring the fan into your play-by-play. You're not over the top with your emotion, except, you know, when it's a game-winning shot like a Kentucky or a Keith Smart to win an NCAA championship. But you flow with the game so well, and you make the listener a part of it. And you know what? You're not afraid. You're not afraid to say, well, the Hoosiers just don't look very good right now. And
right.
I think that's the thing that connects so much of us, being a former coach and watching the games. I mean, you're willing to be honest about what you're seeing on the floor.
Well, and I think that's a part of being a good play-by-play broadcaster. You've got to – let's face it. I've been a part of Indiana for 40 years, and I was a part of it. When I was a part of it for 5 years, I still felt like – this is my team. I'm broadcasting for IU. But at the same time, there's an objectivity that you must have as a play-by-play announcer if you're going to have any credibility. And that's so I've always tried to look at it that way. I feel like I bring to the table an objective bias, if there is such a thing. and you're trying to be fair. And I think if you're fair with how you go about commenting on a ball game, and you're fair with the other team and their players, I think most people respect that and at least can enjoy it. I can't tell you the number of people from Purdue who have come up to me in the past and said, you know what, we are Purdue fans, but we still love listening to your broadcast because you're fair about it. So I think that's a great compliment.
I absolutely agree with them 100%, even if they are Purdue fans. I can tell you that Joe, the other half of this show, is a big Purdue fan, so he probably appreciates that as well. Don, I want to respect your time because I want to make sure you come back. I have so many things I want to talk to you about, but let me hit on we have a question that came in, and then I want to talk a little bit about the football program and the basketball season going on.
Sure.
I got a question from Tony, and he asks, did you call the games for Downing and obviously Benson, and now Cody Zeller? How do you rank these three with their skills and their abilities, and where do you see Cody's future?
Well, honestly, I did not do any games when Steve Downing was a player. He graduated at the end of the 72-73 season, and I came in 73-74. That was my first year of IU basketball with Coach Knight in his third season. So I didn't see Steve play except on television, and obviously I knew about him through, you know, I was in Terre Haute back in 70-71, 72 at that time, so I watched him from afar. So I can't really, I didn't see him enough, but I just know this, that he was a tremendous player. I mean, Steve Downing was a great center, a great post player, did everything that Coach Knight wanted him to do and flourished in that system. At the same time, Kent Benson, I think, was from beginning to end of his career as improved a player as I'd seen at Indiana and have through the years, because I thought he made tremendous changes in his game and positive changes, got more physical, did all those kinds of things, developed an outside 15-foot jump shot, although he always had that, but really honed it at Indiana. And he had a great hook shot with either hand. He was tremendous in the post, but I thought he grew as a player and developed as a player tremendously through his 4 years at IU. Cody Zeller, in my opinion, came into IU as probably as fundamentally a sound basketball player as a freshman that I've ever seen. And that's saying something, because Steve Alford was pretty fundamentally sound when he came in too. But this kid, I think, has affected the game at Indiana more than any freshman I've ever seen because of his skill level and because of his fundamentals. I just think that he is so well-schooled coming in that nobody has affected a team as much as he did last year since I've been at Indiana in my 40 years. So Cody, to me, is without doubt probably the most prepared to play at this level, except from a physical standpoint. His physicality last year definitely had to improve, and I still don't think it's where it needs to be right now. I don't think he's as physically strong as he needs to be, even though he's put on 15 pounds over a year ago, or maybe even close to 20. I don't think he's still as physically strong as he needs to be, and that can only come with maturity and the body growing in that maturation process. So, but other than that, there's not much I can say negative about Cody Zeller.
Now, Don, I Kenny was right. Coach K, I am one of those Purdue people that think you're one of the tops in your field, and I always enjoy listening to you. And my question is, though, you've been through so many great moments and called so many great moments in IU sports history. What are a couple of your favorites?
Well, there are so many. It's hard to pinpoint, but very quickly, I'll just tell you this: that the moment in '76 when Indiana knew that they won the national championship with about 2.5 minutes to go in the ball game was one of my all-time favorite moments. I saw the players for the first time that season go through the shenanigans that you see all the time these days after a 2-0 lead. You know, you see it these days, but back then, that team showed very little emotion, didn't do much of anything in regard to responding to wins or dunks or any of those kinds of things. And when you watch them play, there was just a business-like atmosphere about them. But in that last 2 minutes of that 76 National Championship game, those kids let it all hang out. And, man, they were so excited, jumping up and down, hugging one another. That, to me, is still one of the most emotional moments of my broadcasting career and one of the great ones that I'll always remember. And then you take the Keith Smart shot in 87, phenomenal performance by Smart in that ball game, and, of course, Steve Alford's shot at the buzzer to beat Michigan at Michigan in 87. The ball rolled around the rim and dropped through, and Coach Knight, I've never seen him show that kind of emotion. He jumped in the air as high as I've ever seen him jump and did a pirouette in the middle of the floor and then ran off the floor. And then, of course, he had to bring the team back on, but they put 2.7 seconds or something like that back on the clock, and they had to run the clock out at the end. So, but that was another moment of memory. And then, of course, the Duke game in 2002 down in Lexington, Kentucky, and the way that game ended and the tremendous emotion that was involved in that game. And, of course, Christian Watford's shot. Who can forget that? And, of course, the Smart shot in 87, as I said before. So those are some of the great moments from a basketball standpoint. From football, nothing will stand out further in my mind than the 1987 victory over Ohio State at Ohio State in Columbus. Bill Mallory was carried off the shoulders, off the field, on the shoulders of the players in that ball game. To me, it's still one of the great moments of all time in Indiana football history. That was such a big win. It stopped the, 34-game winning streak that Ohio State had over IU, and it took place in Columbus where they rang that bell for every point that they scored in a ball game if they won, and that bell never rang that day. It's still one of the great memories of my broadcast career.
You know, that was a great, great victory for the football program, and speaking of the football program, Coach Wilson is trying to get some things done. We've really seen the offense perk up. We probably got three pretty good quarterbacks in the stable. Of course, Fish, you see them all the time, so you can correct me at any point as you come back and talk about it. But it looks like to me from what we're seeing on Pigs.com and Inside the Hall and all these other things that football-wise, we're starting to get noticed by some good quality players out of the Indianapolis area and around the states, and the good thing is they may be defensive in nature, and that's where we've got to shore things up.
Well, I couldn't stop you anyplace because you're absolutely right. I mean, defense is where Indiana has struggled since Bill Mallory was the coach, and 94 was the last time that I say that, and there have been a defensive team or two that weren't bad, but we haven't been a consistently good defensive team since Bill Mallory was the head coach back in the 80s and early 90s. And unfortunately, that's the name of the game if you're going to be really good and have a championship-type program. And I say unfortunately because Indiana just hasn't had that kind of defensive play since those years. And when you look at the success that Mallory had, why was it? Was it because Indiana had offense? Well, sure. Obviously, you've got to have offensive players too. But the reason those teams were able to win was because they could stop people. And Indiana hasn't been able to do that for a long time now. And I think that's the difference. If Kevin Wilson is to get it done in Indiana, it will be because of defensive play, not offensive. Because if you look back at Indiana's history, we've always had good offensive players. I mean, generally speaking, you can go back and say that Indiana's had as good an offensive players as just about anybody, and maybe not on a yearly basis, but certainly on an every 2 or 3 or 4 year basis, Indiana's offense takes a backseat to nobody, but they couldn't stop anybody. And those are the issues you're dealing with at IU. And because of what Wilson's done here in the last several months with the Indianapolis kids, that he's gotten 3 4-star players out of the city of Indianapolis, that to me is absolutely huge. And if he can continue to do that, this thing will get turned around.
Let's jump over to basketball, and I'll just add to your comment. I don't care what sport you play, you got to be able to defend. I cut my teeth on Coach Knight's philosophy defensively and Rick Pitino. A lot of people thought Rick Pitino's just offense, but he really focuses on the defensive end just differently. But you got to play defense. The basketball side of the Hoosiers, and boy, do we love what they did. What Coach Crean has done recruiting-wise and kids he's brought in, and he's trying to do it the right way. And when there is a question, Fred Glass and the administration have jumped in and yep. held the line until it was taken care of. Jerkin, Perea, and most recently Hollowell. Let me ask you, Fish, this basketball team, there's no doubt the non-conference schedule was soft, and everybody knows that. But Butler, having Butler towards the end and then having Iowa start the Big Ten, I thought exposed a couple things that I think are, you know, IU can work on, but want to get your comments on them. One, we're very athletic, but I think we got used to winning athletically, and then Butler kind of gave us a wake-up call and said, you better learn to play physical if you're going to control the pace of the game. And then at Iowa, I thought our transition defense, failing to get back, pointing the ball, finding the outlet man, really got exposed. Now, having said that, we're still in the early throes of January. All those things can be taken care of because we got a heck of a team. But your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're right. I don't think there's any question that the schedule hasn't helped us. And I say that because I don't think that Coach Crean probably would have had this schedule if it would have if he knew what was going to happen a couple of years ago. Because nobody knew how quick the turnaround was going to take place. And last year's team obviously, you know, catapulted Indiana back into the national limelight all of a sudden after 6, 10, and 12 win seasons. And honestly, I think the schedule is a product of those 6, 10, and 12 year schedules rather than it is of what they did last season. But all that said, you've got to play, I think you have to play tougher competition to get ready for tougher competition. And this year, I don't think Indiana's schedule was conducive to that. Therefore, I thought that's one of the reasons Butler was able to win that ball game, because I don't think Indiana matched their physicality. And obviously, that was a negative. I think they realized that, and they've come back with a more of a physical nature in their game here of late. But the Iowa ball game, I think, exactly right, exposed Indiana's transition defensive play and why they've got to get back defensively much quicker than they did in that ball game. At the same time, the one thing that I know about Coach Crean is that he works on all these things that he sees in every one of these ball games, and those things become very much a paramount issue in his practice sessions. And I'm sure that Iowa's ability to do that and what they exposed in that situation also opened Coach Crean's eyes to those things that they don't do quite as well. Athletes are, you know, great athletes have to learn to be very physical as well. And I think sometimes the physicality of the game is a little unfair. I'll be honest with you. The way the game is played today sometimes irritates me. It shouldn't be a wrestling match inside, and it shouldn't be just banging on somebody out there at the point guard spot when you can just take your forearm and shove it into their back and get away with that. I don't get that, but that's the way the game's officiated today, and that's what you've got to be able to do yourself, and if you can't, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I think most coaches, even when I was on the high school level, and we were going through, we'd always say, we're going to see what the officials are going to let us do tonight. If they're going to let us play physical, we're going to play physical, because we felt like that was to our advantage. Two things before we let you go in this segment. One, your thoughts on it. Yogi Ferrell has absolutely turned his offensive game around, in my opinion, as far as his follow-through, his getting his feet set, hitting the shots. But in that, do you feel like that teams have said, we're going to guard Cody Zeller? He got too many easy rebound putbacks. He got too many kickoffs. We're going to guard Cody Zeller, and we're going to make sure that Jordan Hulls can't get the kick out at the three-point line when Yogi penetrates. And we're, if Yogi hits shots, he hits shots, but we're not going to let him get the big three runs, and we're not going to get him let him get the big momentum and one from Zeller. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I do think that that Yogi Ferrell is going to have to start shooting the basketball more, and he's going to have to start shooting it better. There's no doubt in my mind that he will do those kinds of things. Whether he can make that kind of transition during the season, I don't know. And Yogi's a kid that works, and they've got enough gym rats in this team that they prove to these other guys, you've got to go out and work extra. You can't just rely on playing the game, practicing with your team, and then going home. You're going to have to stay in that gym a little extra longer, and Yogi's one of those guys that will do that. So my feeling is that until he shoots the basketball effectively from outside, they're going to give him those shots, and they're going to take away everybody else or as much as they can of everybody else in that context. Cody is a guy that I still feel has to develop a little bit more physically, and I think that's going to be the critical factor. And he's going to get – look, last year, if you looked at the Wisconsin game at the end of the season when we got beat in the Big Ten tournament, what was the deciding factor in that game? It was Berggren, the Wisconsin post player who shoved Cody all over the floor. In this season's start, we've seen some of the same kind of action. And Cody, to me, has got to become more of a physical basketball player than what he is right now, because he's always been able to do it the way he's done it, which is fundamentally sound and in more of a finesse fashion. And in the Big Ten, you're not going to be able to do that as effectively, because they're just going to be manhandling you if you allow it. So I just think those are the areas that this basketball team has to improve on. I don't think there's any doubt that they're going to try and take away Hulls. They're going to try and take away the shooters when they can possibly do that. And Indiana's got to become a more physical basketball team. And I honestly believe that they're making strides in that area. I thought the Iowa game, despite the fact that Indiana didn't get back, as you point out, defensively a few times, I thought that they did a really good job in their half-court defense, because they only allowed Iowa to shoot 33%. And Roy Devin Marble, who's their star player, went 1 for 13 or 14 in that ball game. The only reason he got his points in that contest was because he went to the free throw line forever. So, honestly, I think that there are issues that Indiana has, no question. But every basketball team at this point in the season has some issues, and those things have to be worked on and have to be corrected as the year goes on if you're going to be a championship-type team.
Okay, well said, Fish. Last thing, and we'll say goodbye, and thank you so much for coming. But the last thing, Don has a question out of Indianapolis. He wants you to just give a quick rundown of your compare and contrast, just quickly, of the coaches you've worked with. Obviously, Knight, Davis, Sampson, and now Crean.
And he wants me to give a comparison of those guys?
Just what it was like, what was unique about each one or different?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Coach Knight was, in my opinion, one of the reasons that he was as great a basketball coach as he was is because of his ability to break down film and break down mistakes and things that players did, and then devise a way to take advantage of those situations. I thought he was phenomenal at his preparation for ball games and his getting kids ready to play. He was tremendous in those areas, and did it. You know, he was one of those guys that he believed that he had to break a guy down and then build him back up again. Some kids could take that, some kids couldn't, but that's the way he went about his business. So that said, Coach Knight had a tremendous record. You can't argue with what he did. From my standpoint as a broadcaster, he was not the easiest guy in the world to deal with. Although we had a good relationship from a professional standpoint, I think he respected me after a few years that I was there and proved myself to him, so to speak. But he was never the easiest guy to get along with, in the sense of just walking in and talking and all those kinds of things and having a good time. That's not the way it was. At least it wasn't for me in that context. But But again, he was just a tremendous basketball coach and one of the great minds in the game of basketball. Mike Davis was a little bit different because Mike was taking over a program that had national prominence, and he was in a fishbowl that he'd never been in before. And I love Mike Davis. We were very good friends when he was an assistant coach, and we stayed that way through his head coaching career at Indiana. There were things that Mike struggled with as a coach that I don't think he would have had he taken over a program at a smaller level initially and been able to grow into the position. But he was kind of thrown into that spot, and he had a lot to learn about becoming a head coach, and he would be the first to tell you that he did. And he let a few too many things bother him, but what a great person and one of the most honest men I've ever been around. And I really enjoyed Mike. I really did. I drove him home after games, many night home games, and sat in his driveway and talked basketball and some of the changes that he needed to make and those kinds of things. And I still revere those times because it's very rare when you're that close to a head college basketball coach, but we were really a tight pair, so to speak. Kelvin Sampson, I think, is a brilliant basketball mind, and people they want to be negative about him as to what he did at Indiana and the probation that we landed and all the negative things that came down after he left. But from a pure basketball coaching standpoint, that guy knew how to coach. And the other thing that he was good at, he could find guys out there that maybe weren't a top 100 player, but they were tough, hard-nosed type kids that would come in and play their butts off for him. And so I thought that was interesting about Kelvin. He also had a little bit of an air to him sometimes that made it difficult to get to know him for some guys. But for me, he was always terrific. We had a great relationship. And the only thing I would tell you is on the golf course, you didn't want to bet him because there was a good chance you were going to get beat. He was a very good player on the golf course. And if you did beat him, you didn't always get paid. Sorry to say that. let me think. And then, of course, with Tom Crean, I don't think I've ever seen a coach come into a situation like he came into and never complain about it other than the fact that he would say, look, this is what I inherited, this is what I've got to deal with, but I'm going to get this thing turned around. And I never heard him really complain. I really didn't. And you could sit there and talk about a 6-win, 10-win, 12-win seasons, and this guy never lost his focus on what he wanted to accomplish or how he felt like they could accomplish that. And he stayed true to himself and to his program. And the other thing I'll say about Coach Crean, this guy handles the fan base as well as any I've ever seen. I mean, he absolutely endears himself to the fan base because he will sign every autograph, take every picture that somebody wants to take. He remembers people. He's got a tremendous photographic memory for people. People come up to our talk show. I know he hasn't seen this guy or this person in 2 or 3 years, and he signed an autograph or took a picture with him. And they'll start to relate that to him, and he'll finish what they're going to say to let them know that he does remember who they are. He's phenomenal that way, and he really appreciates Indiana basketball and its culture and the tradition and the history of this program, and that's why I think the fans love him so much.
Great stuff, Fish, and you're right on Coach Crean. He's just done a super job with the recruiting and bringing the fans back into it. Thank you for being with us. Let me just say that if Coach Waltman can't make it sometime, give Coach K a call. I know the Hoosiers. I love hoop. Be glad to be your play-by-play sidekick. And secondly, a former Hoosier who played for me in high school, Michael Lewis. I hope he was nice to you when he was at IU.
Mike and I are really good friends. In fact, my wife and his one of his well, I Mike. Let me think how this all works out. Mike's a marshal. His mom was a marshal, and I think a brother somehow or a whatever. It's not a brother, but I've known Mike Lewis forever. And just let me say this: he is a terrific young man. I think he's a terrific basketball coach. He was a heck of a player. I really enjoyed watching Mike play when he was a point guard at Indiana and dealt with Coach Knight and some of Coach Knight's personality issues. And Mike would stand right there, take every moment of it, have a little frown on his face like, you ain't getting to me, that type of thing, And I just loved him. And, of course, his mom and dad are great people as well, and I've always enjoyed them, being around them as much as I was. So I can just tell you that I know Mikey well, and we had a big hug when we played him, when Butler and Indiana played up at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. And he's just a terrific person, and there's no doubt in my mind when he gets a head coaching job, he's going to be a huge success.
Don, thanks for being with us. It was awesome. You're wonderful. You're an icon to all Hoosier fans everywhere. Happy New Year, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, and Happy New Year to you guys as well. And, Joe, try to hang in there with your Boilermakers.
I'm trying.
You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
The drivers out there, if you smell a delicious crispy smell after the race, it's not your tailpipe, it's a little bit of shake and then bake. Shake and bake! That's our nickname!
Get used to hearing it!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're joined by Big Ten Hoops analyst Tim Doyle. Tim, I've got to quickly tell you that my sixth grade son, Reese, was not happy that I did not let him stay home and listen to Tim Doyle, because he's a Big Ten Network junkie, and he wanted to ask you a question, but he never gave me a question to ask you.
So. Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, the Big Ten Network, guys, I've been there since day one, and when I started working there, I remember thinking to myself, I was like, is anybody going to really watch this? You know what I mean? Like, and look what it's done, not only for the Big Ten, but to all of college sports. I mean, it's basically changed the entire landscape of college sports, because you know, you got to give Commissioner Jim Delaney a lot of credit. He had the foresight that I obviously clearly did not have, as this is just completely blown up, and that's why a lot of these conferences are realigning and changing names and reforming, is because, you know, of all the money that's in the television business.
Hey, Tim, this is Coach K, and you're exactly right. Your point is spot on. The Big Ten Network may have a huge impact in how these conferences are changing and realigning because of the money and the revenues. But you were there from the beginning, and it must have been a savvy New York kid who ended up in Chicago at Northwestern, and you must have a lot of brains. You can't be that lucky.
You know, I did. I kind of stepped in it, if you know what I mean. And in this business, you know, a lot of it is timing. You know, I was in the right place. I think if I graduated a year later or a year earlier, then I had graduated. I was a fresh face. I mean, I was a very mediocre player at best on a really, really bad team. But I was able to express myself and make fun of myself, as well as make it easier for the viewer to watch a game and maybe learn something. I think everybody watches TV to be, number one, entertained, and number two, to maybe learn something. Now, the Kardashians are proving me wrong, because everybody watches them. But normally when I watch TV, well, at least they're entertaining people. But I also try to learn at least something when I'm watching some kind of television.
Well, you know, the one thing that I enjoy watching when you're on is I think you're pretty honest. I think you're willing to call a spade in a good way. I mean, if somebody's not playing well, you say they're not playing well. If you're still hanging with a team that other people are questioning, you're willing to say it, and I think that's the refreshing part about you and the Big Ten Network. Now, having said that, you weren't that bad of a player. Honorable mention, all Big Ten. Did some pretty good things at Northwestern. But let's talk about the conference right now. I've been waiting for you to come on. I'm going to throw this at you, and you give me your thoughts on this. I looked at the top eight teams in the conference: Michigan, Minnesota, Indiana, Ohio State, Illinois, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Purdue, not in any specific order. And I look at who they've beaten in the non-conference schedule ranked. I think 1, 2, 3, 4, only five teams, these teams total beat that were ranked at the time. My question to you, and I'm a Big Ten guy, don't get me wrong, IU graduate, Big Ten guy all the way. Is this Big Ten conference as good as it looks on paper, or is it a result of maybe not the best non-conference schedules?
Well, I appreciate the stats, Coach. Whenever you're going to make a statement, you should have something to back it up. And like you said, you have numbers to back up the teams that are ranked. Here's what I'm going to say about the conference. The top two teams are really good. Indiana and Michigan can win the national title. Now, I think what's proving the conference is worth even more is I actually think Minnesota could win the conference. Now, they're going to need some luck, meaning it's going to have to be a 3 or 4-loss conference and maybe there's some ties, but I think Minnesota is really, really good. And I've been on that bandwagon since last April when Mbakwe was going to be coming back and Andre Holland and Rodney Williams. I could just foresee if they were able to blend that they could be really good, and now they are. As for the rest of the conference, the Michigan State, the Wisconsin, the Iowa, the Purdue, there is not a lot of separation. There is maybe a possession separation from, really all of those teams in there. I think Illinois and Ohio State, even though they're rated really high, are, in my mind, overrated. I think Illinois, they're going to go up to Wisconsin this weekend. They're going to lose, and they're going to be 1-3 in the Big Ten, and that's not very good. So that was my biggest question with Illinois, even though they won at Gonzaga and they beat Butler, was, what are they going to do in conference? And for a team that shoots so many three-pointers and they're so predictable offensively, I thought teams are going to figure them out, and so far they have. As for Ohio State, they got one really good player. He went to high school in Indiana, Deshaun Thomas. I mean, he's great. And then the rest of their team is kind of better than the bad teams, but not as good as the great teams. You know what I mean? They're better than the bad teams, but they're just not as good as the elite teams. So I think there's a lot of question marks kind of in that middle tier, but I think top tier is so strong, that's why the conference is rated where it is as the best in the country.
Okay, I'm going to throw this out about Illinois, and I agree with you completely. Ohio State, I'm a big Thad Matta fan, and I think he just missed a couple areas that he needed to have some players for. But Illinois comes out, starts out so well, non-conference, the tournament in Hawaii, Maui tournament, I think it was.
Yeah.
But here's what I said about him the first time I saw him play in the Big Ten. The soft Illinois team of last year has reared its ugly head. A team that can shoot when they're on their great shooting team, but physically they just play soft when it's time to block out. And I thought Purdue took it to them. Do you agree in that assessment that Illinois seems to still be playing a little soft in a conference where they need to be playing a lot more physical?
Yeah, I mean, soft is your adjective. I think they're more of a finesse team, meaning they don't really want the physicality. They want to play open. And that's why I think Illinois has played well against Gonzaga, has played well against Missouri. Now, Butler was coming off 3 games in 3 days, and Butler's not very deep. So that was a good matchup for them in Maui. Now, they also lucked out in Maui. They ended up playing Chaminade in the semifinals, the Chaminade upset. So they got a really nice draw. And Butler, 3 games in 3 days, that's just not a great recipe for a short bench. So I was watching all these games, and I was like, all right, when they get it, it's a physical Big Ten. The game slows down. It's a half-court game. How are they going to score? And that has been a question mark. As for Purdue, I thought Purdue was pretty bad at the beginning of the year. They're a team that's actually getting better, and by the end of the year, could actually be in the mediocre to good range. I think they're still in between the bad to mediocre range at the bottom of the barrel. But, you talked about the top eight teams, and you included Purdue in that. And I would have called you crazy 2 weeks ago, but after watching them, with Ronnie Johnson's getting a little bit better, him and his brother have chemistry in the backcourt. I mean, the key to their team is going to be the development of Hammond, and he is really coming nice. He's really come along very nicely. Once he gets himself in shape, he could be the best big man in the conference. Problem with Purdue is, Coach, they don't have anybody to shoot. I mean, isn't there enough shooters in Indiana? Can't they find a couple of guys that can go out behind the three-point line and make a couple of shots? I mean, the state is known for that. And teams are just going to pack it in and force them, besides DJ Bird, to make some outside shots and beat them from the perimeter.
And the sad thing about that, Tim, is Purdue does the other things you want a team to do. They'll play defense, and they'll play it to the end. They'll go after loose balls. They'll battle you on the boards. They'll battle you up and down the court. But you got to hit shots. And they'll stay in the game, but at some point that run happens. That happens in every game, and they can't match some of those baskets, and that hurts them. But we'll see. I still think Matt's going to keep bringing that team around, like you said, and I think they'll beat some people at the end. Let's jump over to Michigan. We got a lot of people in Indiana, believe it or not, that like Michigan, as well as the Hoosiers. Michigan's got some athletic ability. They can shoot it. Gosh darn it, I am just still struggling. Do they have an inside game that can compete down the stretch and be the Big Ten champ, possibly, or even go further in the tournament? Help me feel better about Michigan.
I don't think they have an inside presence, but how many college basketball teams have a great center? Now, it happens that the team in Bloomington has a really good center, maybe the best in the country. So I really think the weakness of Michigan is Indiana's strength. That's why I haven't jumped off the Indiana bandwagon as far as winning the Big Ten Conference. The whole key to Indiana's success is going to be Watford. And he's teased us for 4 years on how good he can be. But when he's aggressive and he gets Penn State, first play of the game, he drives to the basket and scores. Then he gets a three. And then he gets an N1. And I could tell first play of the game, because I've been watching him for so long, I said, oh, okay, he's decided he wants to play tonight. Now, it's frustrating for a Hoosier fan to watch Watford because you know the talent there and the size and at the college level. But he just doesn't bring it every night. As for Michigan, they may have the best college player in the country, forget about point guard, in Trey Burke, as far as creating space and getting to the hole. He is really unguardable. That's going to be a fun matchup to watch because I think Yogi's going to be really good. He's not at Trey Burke's level right now. And the freshmen from Michigan have really come along really nicely in Stauskas, and I'm sure Matt Painter is kicking himself that he didn't get the big dog son at Purdue because Glenn Robinson III is an NBA player. I think Michigan, we've seen how good they can be. I think we've all been like, wow, they're really good. The thing with Indiana is I actually think their ceiling to get better is higher than Michigan. I still, when I watch the Hoosiers, I think they're still trying to figure it out offensively. Now you're like, oh, Tim, they scored 89 points a game. I know, but they also scored 100 against Little Sisters of the Poor, and that kind of skews your average a little bit. I think they're a team that, when Yogi and Holes and Sheehy, they almost have too many good guys that they're trying to figure out, all right, what is the rotation right now? Can Perea actually help us as the season goes on? So I'm still giving the conference edge to Indiana, but Michigan and Indiana could easily both be in the Final Four at the end of the day.
I agree that the ceiling for Indiana is higher, and the offensive end is the thing that puzzles me because – They're not sure, are we just going to just penetrate and shoot? Are we going to move the ball? Are we going to kick it in, kick it out? Are we going to skip it? Are we going to screen on it? And we still haven't seen Cody Zeller, who I think is a great talent, a great player, a smart player. He still hasn't become comfortable and said, this is my team and I need to step up. And again, I think you've said it before, and I think most people who watch this game, it's not a matter of Cody getting the ball and scoring. It's just a matter of Cody touching that ball, getting a lot of touches, kicking it in, kicking it out, moving that basketball, forcing that defense to have to make some commitments somewhere on the court, on the inside, to open up that penetration game without it just being a dribble down the court, dribble penetration. So I agree. I think Indiana's got a big ceiling. Does Cody Zeller ever find that comfort level, Tim, where he steps up and says, this is my team, this is my court?
I know. It's almost hard to see because he's not very emotional, you know. And I live in Chicago, and Lovie Smith just got fired because he didn't show enough motion. You know, it's like the guy won 10 games this year, but he wasn't showing that emotion. And so some people need to see that. I would like to see it a little bit more out of him as far as, like, getting in Yogi's face or getting in Holden's face. Like, throw me the ball. I'm the best player in the country. That's just not his personality. I think, Coach, when you're talking about Indiana's offense, I think the key word is identity. You know, what is their identity? Are they a running team? Are they a half-court team? In the half-court, did they go through Zella? Are they a three-point shooting team? They do all these things well. I'm just not sure what they do great. And that's what they're going to have to decide over the next 2 months. Now, they may not be able to figure it out, and that might be something that drags on all year. But I have confidence in Tom Crean that he's going to be able to figure out the rotation. Let's not forget, I think he sent a message to Watford and Zeller, not having them on the court against Butler for the last possession. I think it was a sign that he didn't like how tough or how not tough they were against the Butler team. So, you know, they're one possession away from being undefeated and still number one in the country. So I think we just have to slow down a little bit. I think they're going to beat Minnesota handily this weekend at home. So I have not lost confidence at all at Indiana.
Okay, let's jump to Michigan State. Here's a team that came out, beat Kansas early in the year. Where are we at in the maturity of this team, in its leadership? Can it step up to the top of the Big Ten at some point? I think Tom Izzo is very capable of putting together the game plan to beat anybody in the Big Ten. What do you see when you look at Michigan State? Always a bellwether of the Big Ten. What do you see in this year's team?
Yeah, it helps to put together a game plan when you have McDonald's All-Americans everywhere. And he has that. You know, he has great high school players at the college level. So I think Tom Izzo is a wonderful coach, but he also has a lot of talent. And talent-wise, I would put Michigan State up against Indiana or Michigan or Minnesota. There just seems to be something missing. And I've watched them play every game, and I'm just like, I really can't put my finger on it. But right now they've figured it out. They're winning games. They're, what, 2-1 in conference. Their only loss was at Minnesota. So they're figuring out ways to win, and they're bringing along some young guys in Valentine and Harris. Michigan State's a team I don't see losing more than 5 conference games, and I could see them easily knocking off Indiana or Michigan or Minnesota, especially at home in East Lansing. As far as buying them for a Final Four team, I don't see them with that kind of potential. I mean, that's what Tom Izzo has done to us. That's kind of the bar that we expect Michigan State to be at every year. You know, are they a Final Four team? I would say right now it's a little bit of a long shot, but as far as winning games in conference, I mean, they're going to be a tough out each and every night.
So you're still pretty high on Minnesota overall, but you think IU's going to take it to them?
I think Indiana's going to win that game because I watched the Penn State game, and Indiana threw the ball away like 17 times. They did 17 or 18 turnovers, and they won that game handily. Now, I know Penn State is really, really bad, but I could just see there was a spark or two early in that game where I said, okay, I could see them turning the corner a little bit. Fast forward to Minnesota, they have an emotional win over Illinois. They're really high on themselves. I mean, this is a very hard game. After winning at Illinois, now you go back on the road. It's Indiana's first game after the new year. It's their first conference game at home. That's what I mean. So the crowd is going to be really good. I question if it's going to be great, even though it's a noon tip. I know sometimes you Hoosier fans are a little spoiled. Maybe you had Knicks the night before or Kilroy's. You have a tough time getting up early in the morning, kind of get the booger out of your eye a little bit. But the crowd is electric down there. I really like the Hoosiers to win that game. I said this yesterday, by 8 points or more. I think this is a game they can really control, and I think the matchup, their strengths kind of play to what Minnesota doesn't do well. I really like Indiana in that game.
How about Minnesota's depth overall? Do you think they're deep enough to make that big run in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I think Minnesota is an Elite Eight team. I really believe that in my heart. Like, I would be shocked if they don't get to the Sweet 16, and then anything can happen, especially the way college basketball is, the bracket breaks down. They're just really well-balanced, and in college basketball, that's why I think the three teams we've talked about in Indiana, Michigan, and Minnesota, the key word is balance. They can beat you in many different ways. They can score on the outside. They can play good defense. They can score on the inside. I think the teams that are in that 4-8 pattern, like Purdue, like Wisconsin, like Illinois, like Ohio State, they have just question marks. Like, they don't have that balance. Purdue's great defensively. They're pretty good in transition, but they can't shoot the three. You know, Illinois, all three, no inside play. Like, there's no balance in between those middle teams. That's why I think Minnesota is a complete team. That's why I'd put them in that category of Michigan and Indiana. They're going to be really tough on any given night.
I love it. I'm just nailing you here, right, left, and you're just coming back with bullets, man. Iowa. I got to ask you about Iowa. I saw Iowa play IU, of course, on TV.
Yeah.
And I see all these freshmen out there. And I'm thinking they're beating Indiana up and down the court in transition, exposing maybe Indiana not being ready to get back. I mean, does this Iowa team have some potential going forward? Or are we just going to see pieces that don't come together for Iowa?
I think the potential is definitely there going forward. I think the problem is, Coach, I think people thought it was going to happen this year. And I got to admit, I thought they were close to turning that corner this year. I thought they were right on the cusp. Before conference play started, I thought they would get in. And they lose a close game last night at home to Michigan State. So now they're 0-3 in conference. And, you know, they have no bad losses. They lost to Indiana, Michigan, and Michigan State. But you're 0-3, and now you go to Evanston to play Northwestern. And it's a tricky game because now all the pressure's on you to win. You're on the road. Northwestern's playing with house money. You lose that game, you're 0-4, and then basically your NCAA hopes are gone. So all the pieces are there. I mean, they're going to be a top-5 team in the conference next year because you mentioned all those young guys, and even their good players like Aaron White and Marble, they're only sophomores and juniors. So next year they're going to be really good. I think maybe I got a little too excited. A lot of Hawkeye fans got a little excited that this was going to be the year. I'm not saying it's not going to be just yet, but I would say now they're more of a long shot to get in than a sure thing.
Yeah, I do like them going forward. And, I mean, speed and length and some physical kids. Let's talk about your alma mater, Northwestern. They've solved their problems in football. Are we getting any closer on the basketball side?
No, not no. And the thing is, you know, the window was to go to the tournament probably in the last legit 4 years. I mean, John Schoener leaves as Northwestern's all-time leading scorer, and you have so many years there where they're 8-10, they're 22 wins, they don't get in. You know, and now the window this year is closed. And, you know, does it open again next year? Potentially, but I think there would be crazy to fire Bill Carmody. And it's not because I played for him. It's because at Northwestern, you're David all the time. Like, you're never Goliath, unless we're talking about women's swimming or golf or tennis. Like, we're great in all the white-collar sports. Like, we want to put our golf team up against anybody. We'll kick their butt. But when you want to play basketball against Indiana, and Indiana has facilities that are just, I mean, as good as the Indiana Pacers, and Northwestern's facilities are no better than North Central High School's. You know, you can't compare those. And so what Bill Carmody has done there has been seriously a modern miracle. And I just hope that they don't make a bad decision because people get impatient. They say, oh, well, he hasn't done this. And they don't realize Northwestern for like 40 years was absolutely terrible. They were a laughingstock. And now he's built them up to every year they're very competitive. You know, sometimes you should, you know, what you wish for may be what you get, and then you regret it. And so I think if they fired Bill Carmody, it could really turn sour, and then they'll be begging for him to come back. And I think it would be a huge mistake.
Well, I am absolutely on your side. I think he's an excellent coach. And I think that if you're not ready to play Northwestern, he'll beat you because he'll put that team in a position to do that. I know, Joe, you got a question for Tim?
Yeah, Tim, I've got a comment and then a question from a listener. You downplayed your playing career, but you are one of only 14 players in Big Ten history to record 350 points, 150 assists, 100 rebounds, and 50 steals in one season. And to be one of those 14, you had to be above average. Come on.
Joe, I've actually memorized all those stats because that was my pickup line with girls for like 3 years after I got out of college. It was very long, so I used to just shorten it. So I used to sell it as I averaged a triple-double in college, but that used to be my pickup line.
We have a question from Mark in Indianapolis. Wants to know, in horse and one-on-one, who would win between you and the great Sean Morris? Present day.
Right now, I would kick his butt one-on-one. I'm 30 years old. Sean's like 112. So it's like Babe Ruth. How would Babe Ruth bat in this era? I don't know. He's like 140. Like, so Sean Morris was a better player than I was when we played, but now, use-wise, one-on-one, I would beat him. In horse, yeah, that would be a different story. Sean still gets up and runs at 5 a.m., and the reason I know that is because he lives in the Evanston area, and then when I was coming home from some very late nights, I would see Sean jogging on the street. I'd be like, oh, man, I'm getting home way too late tonight. But Sean keeps himself in good shape. The horse, I would say, would be a toss-up. One-on-one would be no competition.
I think you got the length to get him in one-on-one. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, one-on-one, it wouldn't be a problem. He's old. In horse, you know, there's no moving. You can go spot to spot. I think that'd be more of a challenge.
Jim, as we finish up this awesome segment with you, let's just look at your top five players in the Big Ten at this point. Top five guys that you think have distinguished themselves. And I know that there's probably eight or nine, but just your top five at this point in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think it's pretty simple. And anyone who wants to argue with this, I really don't think there's a case. I think it's Zeller and then Burke and then DeShaun Thomas. I think those three are locked in as three best players in the league. Now, four and five, you know, you could argue Brandon Paul has been phenomenal for Illinois. I think he has to be in that four or five slot. And then probably the fifth guy would be Rodney Williams or Mbakwe from Minnesota. I think Mbakwe's played really well of late. He's coming back from ACL surgery. He's really blossomed. I think you have either one of those guys. The first three guys are set in stone. And then four and five, I don't think it's going to change too much in conference play. But, you know, it's interesting to see. There's a lot of great college players. And with Zeller, Coach, I'm interested to hear your opinion. Do you think he's going to be a good NBA player?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think that he's got to get a lot stronger. I mean, a lot stronger on the NBA level. He's got to improve his perimeter shot. He did show earlier in the year that he could step out and hit that, but he's going to have to hit that on a more consistent basis. But, gosh, Tim, he runs the floor awfully well. He
yeah.
runs the floor extremely well. He's a smart player, pretty cerebral when he's out there. But you know, you got to get stronger to play in that NBA grind. And you got to be able to pull your defense out on the floor a little bit. I think he's capable of doing all those things. I thought he was a little bit further ahead than maybe I felt the last few weeks of the season. But again, I think the non-conference schedule, the weak non-conference schedule, did not prepare Cody well for these last few weeks. And I think we'll see a little bit more in these next couple weeks in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. You know, they haven't really gone out and played anybody. And, you know, I thought Andrew Smith of Butler was, you know, Butler had a game plan. They were not going to let Cody Zeller have any easy baskets. And that's why so many different guys fouled out. And I thought that physicality, I think, shook him a little bit. And you're right. If he's going to take that next step, I think you hit the nail right on the head, he's going to have to develop like a 12-footer. Like, he's going to have to start shooting it, and shooting it with confidence. Now,
yes.
I'm not sure if Tom Crean would be too thrilled with that. I'm sure Tom Crean wants to shoot nothing but layups and dunks, but he's got to start kind of expanding his game a little bit more. I mean, I draft boards have him as the number one pick. Personally, I think that's absolutely crazy because he has a ways to go. I understand he's a physical specimen. He runs really well, but for the number one pick, I want somebody that has, like, a wow factor. Could be this good or is going to be this good. And he, for me, doesn't have that, just not yet today.
I think he's an above-average passer. But, again, I think that non-conference schedule that we played at IU left him more kickouts for transition baskets and offensive rebounds and dump-offs and
right.
not anywhere he had to face up like Butler made him do. And handle a defensive player and make that move. But we'll see. Last thing, and we'll let you go. You've been awesome and wonderful, and you better come back like 10 times. Top three newcomers in the Big Ten.
Well, Farrell's got to be on that list as far as I think he's probably the second quickest guard in the Big Ten next to Trey Burke. And, you know, I've been impressed with different things at different times as far as the big shot against Butler he made, you know, but then you see the turnover he made a few plays before, and then you see the quickness to get in the lane. I think, like Indiana, he's still trying to figure out when's a good time to go and when's a good time maybe to maybe let someone else go and make a play. So he would be on that list. And then you got to go to the two guys from Michigan. Len Robinson III is an Indiana guy. Can't believe he got out of the state, but he may have the most potential. And Nick Stauskas, just look at the numbers. I mean, he's shooting almost 60% from three. I don't think anybody's foreseen him being this good. And when you're – it's funny. When you're like a 6'6 white guy, take it from me. Is that who I am? Everyone just assumes you're a shooter, and he's more than that. He can actually put the ball on the floor, and he's a really well-rounded basketball player. Coach, I always get a kick out of somebody when they meet me. They're like, oh, yeah, we saw you play. You were a shooter. And I want to be like, dude, I couldn't throw it in Lake Michigan. But I always like, yeah, that was me, the shooter. They just – it's an assumption I've just kind of shake my head and agree with now.
Great stuff, Tim. Thanks for being with us, man. I hope you'll come back.
Coach, have a good weekend. Talk to you. See you, Joe.
See ya.
See you later, man. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles. Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
You were in Nam, so were we. Where?
I was in Dangong. I was all over that place, basically. A lot of places.
What unit were you in?
I was with the Green Beret, Special Unit Battalion, Commando Airborne Tactics, Specialist Tactics Unit Battalion. Yeah, it was real hush-hush. I was Agent Orange. That was my name, Agent Orange, Special Agent Orange. That was me.
Airborne, huh?
I can see! I can see! I have legs!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And that'll do it for this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. Remember, we'll be taking a summer vacation, but we'll return on August 2nd. If you need your fix of the Coach K and Joe Show before that, you can listen to past podcasts at www.coachkandjoeshow.com or download them on iTunes. Until we return August 2nd, this is Joe Milligan saying have a great summer.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Join us next Friday from 11 to 1 for the next show. Until then, visit www.jaspertodayonline.com or go to iTunes to listen to podcasts of past shows. See you next week.